I appreciate that good song. All right, take your Bibles again. Go to Acts chapter number 1 and the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Book of Acts chapter number 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we'll look at 2 Corinthians 5 first and read this passage of Scripture as our text for the series we've been in for the last several weeks. And I think we'll do this message and I'll do one more and then we'll go on to something else towards the end or towards the summer. But we'll look at this series, My New Life. And as we've said for the last several weeks, it's never God's plan for us to stay as baby Christians. It's His plan for us to advance in our Christian life, to mature as we grow as a Christian. Sadly, a lot of people stay as baby Christians. They get saved and that's where they stay. And that's why sometimes our churches are very shallow and people are in and out. They're wishy-washy. And so it's important for us to grow in our Christian life and to be able to understand the basic Bible doctrines of the Word of God. And so I've tried to just go over some very basic bottom-of-the-shelf stuff the last several weeks. And tonight, I'm pretty excited to preach the message. It's one of those that you can say amen to, because this is something none of us have quite experienced yet, but we will someday, and I look forward to this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, look at verse number 17. The Bible says this, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." Now in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, in verse number 9, Acts chapter number 1, and in verse number 9, the Bible says this, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Tonight, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach a message entitled this. Not really proper English, but it's the way I talk. You ain't seen nothing yet. All right, that's what we'll preach on tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege to be able to be in your house again on this Wednesday night. God, I come to you again asking for your help, for your power, for your strength to preach the Word of God. Lord, we need it to be able to hear and to be able to understand your book. And so, God, I thank you for the truths of your Word. I thank you for how you've taught me out of this passage of Scripture and others this week. But, God, I need your help to be able to relay it to your people. And, God, I pray that the truth of your Word would lodge deep in our heart. And, God, I pray that it'll be a help and an encouragement to each and every person under the sound of my voice. God, if there be anyone here that's lost and doesn't know you as their Savior tonight, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. God, for others, Lord, that may not quite be ready to meet you in the air, God, I pray, Lord, that they would do business with you tonight at the altar and be prepared, because we never know the moment, we never know the hour. It'll come in the blink of an eye, the twinkle of an eye. God, you'll come, and Lord, we'll not have time then to get ready. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us all to examine ourselves tonight and make sure that we're ready to meet you in the air. In Jesus' name, amen. Not only whenever God saves us, or does he save us from something or out of something, but he also saves us into something. Not only does God save us out of hell or save us from hell, but he saves us into heaven. And aren't you thankful for that? One day we'll be able to experience and be able to enjoy all the splendors of heaven. To be honest with you, our human minds cannot comprehend all that we'll experience one day in heaven. The Bible gives us just a little bit of what we'll experience. It gives us a little bit in the book of Revelation, but even our human mind can't comprehend all the splendors of heaven, that wonderful place that God has prepared. But for those that are saved by the good grace of God, it is our eternal place. But for the child of God, it is a great and a eternal reward that awaits. Listen, we should keep our eyes on the prize. Listen, we're not just here and then we're dead. Listen, that is a man of most, we don't have any hope if that's the life. And that's the life that a lot of people live. They think they live and then they die and they think that that's it. But listen, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And for those of us that know God as our Savior, Jesus as our Lord, then we will experience heaven someday. And I'm so thankful for that, and I look forward to that. We must keep our eyes on the prize. There is a blessed hope in the promise of the Lord's return. Listen, it's a wonderful thing to be saved and to know it, and the blessings of God in this life are wonderful. But can I just honestly say tonight, we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't experienced all that God has for the children of God that name the name of Christ. And I just want to cover just a brief overview of what is to come. Notice, first of all, notice the return of the Savior. The return of the Savior. Listen, after the resurrection of Christ, He showed Himself with many infallible proofs. Again, in our text in Acts chapter number 1 and in verse number 9, the Bible says, "And when He had spoken these things while they beheld Him, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." Now, can you imagine the conversation after those disciples seen the Lord Jesus Christ ascend, after those angels appeared in white apparel? Can you imagine the conversation that they had? Wow. Can you imagine? You got to enter yourself into this text. I mean, what they had just seen, they had seen Jesus ascend. They had seen two men come down in white apparel. And now they stand with this message given from God that, listen, don't stand here gazing, but there is a job to do. The return of the Savior. Listen, we noticed several things about this passage of Scripture. First of all, we learned that His return is imminent. Listen, His return is going to happen in the blink of an eye. It's going to happen, the twinkling of an eye. It's quicker than a blink. That's how soon His return will happen. The Old and New Testaments, they both give prophecies of the Lord's return. He's coming back someday to get His children. Listen, the same Jesus that they saw taken up is the same Jesus that will come down in the air to meet the saints and to call the saints home. That's the same Jesus. Listen, this impeccable Son of God who died for the sins of all mankind will come to meet His bride. We learn that it'll be imminent. But we also learn from this passage of Scripture that it'll be in like manner. Jesus' return, it will come in like manner as He ascended up into heaven. What does that mean? It means that it'll be a literal return. It'll be Jesus coming back. He's not sending an angel. He's not sending a flunky, if you will. He is coming back Himself. It will be a literal return. It'll be a bodily return. It'll be a visible return. The Bible talks about how it'll be in the clouds. It'll be audible. It'll be witnessed by the saints. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Listen, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and ye shall be changed." Listen, when He returns the church to get the church, He will suddenly come in power, in victory, and in triumph. Listen, He's not coming this time to be rejected by men. That's what He came the first time for. He's not coming this time to be reviled or to be resisted, but instead He is coming back in power. He's coming back in great glory. He's coming back with honor. He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the when Jesus comes back. Listen, He's coming back in a moment. It's an eye. Listen, that refers to the speed, how quick it's going to be. Listen, there'll be no time to get right with God whenever Jesus returns this second time. There'll be no time to hurry up to an altar and bow your head and say, "God, forgive me of my sin, forgive me of my wrongdoing, forgive me of missing church and not reading my Bible and not praying like I should, and forgive me for not walking with you, God." There'll be no time for that. There'll be no time to get to an altar and to bow your head and say, "God, I realized I'm a sinner and I recognize that You are the Savior, and would You please forgive me of my sins and take me to heaven when I die?" There'll be no time for that as well. You see, He's coming. It'll be imminent. It'll be in the twinkling of an eye. And listen, that's why it's so important. If we aren't right with God, if we're not saved tonight, and listen, that's why it's so important, because we don't know when this will happen. The Bible says He'll come as a thief in the night. When men least expect it, when we least expect His return, that's when it's going to happen. And Jesus comes back. Oh, we got to be prepared. We got to be like when somebody's coming to pick you up and you're looking out the window and you're waiting on the front porch. You're ready to get in the vehicle with them. That's how we got to be prepared for when the Lord comes, because we don't know when He's coming. We just know He's coming. And listen, there's been generations gone by that's looked for His return, but there's going to be one generation that will experience His return, and it could be you and I. Listen, we could be the raptured saints tonight, and we see the return of the Savior. That brings me to my next point. Notice the resurrection of the saints. The resurrection of the saints. When the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, there will be some amazing things that will take place on this earth. And the Bible talks about it. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I want you to see this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Keep going towards the end of your Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And I want you to look at verse number 13. Very familiar passage of Scripture. One that is read often at the graveside before we say our final goodbye to our loved ones. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 13, the Bible says this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, because of all that we just read, comfort one another with these words." There's several fundamental truths from this passage of Scripture talking about the resurrection of the saints. First of all, Paul doesn't want us to be ignorant about it. Listen, we don't have to be ignorant concerning, ignorant just simply means unlearned. We don't have to be unlearned or ignorant about where our loved ones are. Listen, they're not laying in a grave somewhere dead, if you will. Their spirit, if they knew Christ as their Savior, their spirit is with the Lord. Their corruptible body is laying in a grave somewhere. 6-7 foot under, however deep. They're there. But their spirit is with the Lord. Paul said, don't be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. Don't sorrow as others which have no hope. He says, because they're not laying in a grave and just in a state of sleeplessness. No. We will be united. We will be reunited once again with our loved ones someday. And anyone that's ever had to stand at a graveside and say goodbye to a loved one, a mom, a dad, or grandma, or grandpa, an aunt, or uncle, or child, whatever the case may be, we're thankful for that, aren't we? Knowing that one day we'll reunite with them, we'll see them as we have seen them. And listen, Paul says, you don't have to be ignorant about where they're at or what they're doing. They're not asleep. They're more alive than they've ever been. They're with the Lord. Paul said, when the Lord returns, he'll bring the saints of God with him. So that tells us that they're with him. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what we know. You see, to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. And so what that means is our spirit goes to God when we pass away, and it leaves our corruptible bodies behind to one day be resurrected. Those that have died in faith, their spirits will go back into their bodies to be changed into the image of Christ. Our glorified bodies. Isn't that going to be a wonderful time? When we have glorified bodies. I mean, no more health issues. No more blood pressure medicine. No more allergies. Thanks be unto God. This week has been an allergy week. No more, none of that. No more surgeries. No more sickness. No more cancer. No more any of that. Listen, we are going to be in our glorified bodies. There will be a literal, physical resurrection of the saints, even as Christ resurrected. Listen, this is for those that have already passed away in this life. There will be a resurrection before the translation of the church. I'm hoping to be not in this number. I want to be in the raptured saints. That's where I want to be. We're going to go one of the two ways. We're either going to go through the grave or we're going to go in the air, one of the two. I'm hoping that we are part of the raptured saints. But if not, this is still pretty good. Well, we're going to get to be part of the resurrected saints. I mean, we're going to be able to say the resurrected. Whichever way you go, I mean, it's going to be a good way. You say, man, why does the resurrected saints have to go first? No, the best answer is they're 6 foot under. They need a little head start. You got a better explanation? You don't, do you? They need a little head start. Because, listen, it's all going to happen, like, quicker than that. We're not talking like they're going to happen and then God's going to leave us for another 20 years and then we'll rapture it up. No. It's going to happen so fast that it's like simultaneously. Just poof. So they need just 6 feet under. That's got to be the answer. I don't even know if that's the answer, but it's close. That's right. Listen, the resurrection proclaims the Lord's victory over death. Listen, death has no binding to the child of God. There's no fear. The Bible says, death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Listen, it's a sad place if you're a lost person to go to the graveside. Sad, because there's no hope. There's no hope. They stand and they think they are literally saying goodbye, and they really are if they don't know the Lord. They are literally saying goodbye forever. But to a saved child of God, death is not a threat to us. Listen, it's not a threat. The resurrection proclaims the Lord's victory over death. He was raised first and ascended into heaven, and those who have died in Christ will experience victory over death and also be raised again. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I want you to see this passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Notice verse number 51. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse number 51. The Bible says this, "Behold, I show you, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." This is where we enter, okay? If we're going to be the raptured saints. Paul says, hey, I've got a mystery for you. Not everybody's going to die. Some people are going to be resurrected out of here, or raptured out of here. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written." Here it is. "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be it to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I love verse 58. "Because of all that we just read, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain." It's almost like Paul says, you better be ready because it's all going to happen so fast. So you better be steadfast. Don't move. Always abound in the work of the Lord, because you never know when God's coming and you want to be ready. You know, we want to be ready. Listen, the saints that will be resurrected include all people from all periods of time who have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Old Testament saints, they had to get saved the same way you and I had to get saved. They had to get saved looking towards the cross. That one day that there was going to be a Messiah that would come, that would have to die for the sins of all mankind. They had to get saved by faith. You and I, we get saved by looking back at the cross and realizing that Jesus did come and that He did die on the cross to pay for the sins of all mankind by faith. And so for everyone that's ever been saved, Old Testament, New Testament, you and I, oh listen, we will be resurrected if we're part of the resurrected saints. Our very loved ones who have passed away that knew the Lord will come out of their graves being an example to those who are alive and remain on planet Earth. Man, can you imagine the story they're going to tell? Man, you've got to dream some of this stuff. Listen, you've got to put yourself in the story. This is literal events that's going to take place. Well, sometimes we don't comprehend it and we just think, well, I hope that all happens. No, no, no. This is going to happen. You've got to put yourself in the story or you won't believe it. And you'll wander through life and you'll be just like a lost man saying, well, goodbye, I'll never see you again. Listen, this is literally going to happen. Can you imagine the stories they're going to tell when they resurrect out of here? And so we see the resurrection of the saints. We see the return of the Savior. But notice number three. Notice the rapture of the saved. This is the group we want to be in. Here it is, the rapture of the saved. Again, there in 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse number 51. The Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." So Paul, he's got a mystery here. He'll understand. He said, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Listen, there is a generation that will via the rapture. And that could very well be you and I. Listen, we are living in the last of the last days. I remember as being, younger than Graceland, hearing preachers preach about this thing called the rapture and the end times and Jesus is coming back. Some of you can think back way further than that. And you've heard preaching on this and you've heard teaching on this and you know this to be true. But you realize we're closer today than we were last week. We're closer today than we were Sunday. We'll be closer tomorrow than we are today. Listen, there is going to be a rapture of the saints. There's a generation that will experience this. And Paul referred to it as a mystery. When Christ returns, there'll be believers alive on planet Earth. And the Bible refers, the rapture means this. It means caught up, a catching away. And there's an order of events. The resurrection will happen first. And then the rapture. Again, you say, well, why? 6 feet under. Okay, that's the best thing we got. But go with me to 1 Thessalonians. Go back with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Doing a lot of back and forth here, but it's multiple scriptures that cover this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 16 with me. The Bible says this. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. We're talking about the rapture of the saints. He says this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Here it is. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, that's rapture, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, after the resurrection of the saints, a rapture of the saved will reunite with not only our loved ones, but then we'll unite with the Lord. We'll meet them in the air in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We'll meet in the clouds, the Bible talks about. Listen, and we will be as a unified bride. The resurrection of the saints, of the resurrected saints and the raptured saints will be a cohesive, united bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. From that moment on, wherever the Lord's at, that's where we'll be at. From that moment on. Wherever the Lord's at, his eternal bride will be forever with him. Listen, this doctrine here, this biblical doctrine ought to bring us comfort. It ought to bring us wonderful comfort. Listen, we live in a wicked, ungodly world, but there's a better day coming. Listen, the songwriter truly had it right when he said, what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall all be like him. Notice this, for we shall see him as he is. Boy, that's a wonderful truth tonight. I'm hoping to be a part of that raptured saints, but if not, we'll take the resurrection of the saved as well. Let me give you the last thing tonight. Notice the reign of the sovereign. The reign of the sovereign. Just a brief overview of the end times. The reign of the sovereign. All of these events that we've talked about. The return of the Savior. The resurrection of the saints. And the rapture of the saved. Is all going to happen in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen very quickly. To be saved of God. This is our crowning day. I mean, this is the day that we all look forward to. But to the lost and undone. Hell is literally going to take place on earth. After Christ's return, there'll be a 7-year period called the tribulation period. For the first 3.5 years, there'll be a false sense of peace on earth. Then the Antichrist, he'll come on the scene and he'll cause Israel to be deceived. During the middle of the 7-year tribulation, he'll turn his back on the Jewish people, and it'll be a time of horrific judgment upon earth, and especially to the Jews. After the 7-year period, Christ will set up his kingdom upon the earth, in which he'll rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed for a period of time, and he will cause those that are still on earth to be deceived. After being released, Satan will deceive the nations, and he'll gather them against the saints of God to do battle. Fire will come down from heaven to destroy and to devour the wicked, and Satan will then be eternally defeated, and he'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. After this, the great white throne judgment, that is a judgment for all those that didn't know the Lord. They'll stand in judgment for the works that they've done, and if their name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life, they'll hear those words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. After the defeat of Satan and the great white throne judgment, the eternal state begins. There'll be a new heaven. There'll be a new earth. The holy city of Jerusalem comes down from heaven, and the people of God will experience eternal joy as they are forever with their God. There'll be no tears. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no death. There'll be no pain. All of those things were brought on by sin, and they'll forever be diminished from the people of God. Listen, there's great comfort in knowing that. There is a greater day coming. We haven't seen anything yet. Or as I like to say, we ain't seen nothing yet. Listen, God has a plan for you. He has a plan for you here on earth, but He also has a plan for you after your life on earth. There is a heaven and there is a hell. The Bible says this in John chapter number 14 and verse number 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Listen, if you're not saved tonight, I challenge you. I charge you. Whatever else I can say, you need to get saved. You don't know when Jesus is coming back. The time that He comes back. And there'll be many that'll beg and they'll plead and they'll say, "God, please, please forgive me. Please let me in." It'll be too late. You say, "Well, I don't know for sure." I'd get it settled. I'd get that settled before. I wouldn't go to hell for anybody. I wouldn't go to hell for anybody. If you don't know for sure that you're saved tonight, that's your greatest need. Because Jesus is coming back. Listen, if you're not right with your Heavenly Father, I sure wouldn't want to be in a place where I have unconfessed sin in my life if He were to come. I want to be right with Him. I want to be, as I gave the illustration, I want to be waiting on the front porch. I want to be looking out the window, realizing He's coming back, and I want to be clean before Him and say, "God, I'm ready. I'm not only clean, but God, I'm busy serving you. God, I'm trying to live for you. I'm trying to raise my family for you. I want to hear those words, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" We still have time. That trumpet hasn't sounded yet. One day it will. That eastern sky is going to break loose. The trumpet's going to sound, and we're out of here. Let's be busy about it while we can. Listen, time is of the essence. Time is of the essence. Jesus is coming soon. There's not much preaching that goes on right now about this. People almost just live here and now. But I'm telling you, it's coming. It's happening. Sooner rather than later. And I'm just convinced we could potentially be a part of the resurrected or the raptured saints. I'm good either way. We're a winner either way, aren't we? We're a winner either way. All right, every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening tonight.